From the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX, this is Reveal. I'm Al Letson. The Oscars are next week, and one of the top contenders for Best Picture is Spotlight, a movie about the Boston Globe's investigative team that exposed the Catholic Church sex abuse scandal. Today, we're going to take you behind the scenes of that investigation and look at the legacy of that first groundbreaking story and how other journalists would expose crimes by Catholic priests around the world. Before we get started, we should let you know that this episode has some pretty graphic content. So if you get triggered by this type of material, or if you have young children listening, you should probably tune out now. The film begins in 2001. Marty Baron has just taken over as the editor of the Boston Globe, and he issued a challenge to the paper's investigative team, known as Spotlight. Liev Schreiber plays Baron in the movie.
We need to focus on the institution, not the individual priests. Practice and policy. Show me the church manipulated the system so that these guys wouldn't have to face charges.
These guys are Catholic priests who sexually abused children. The paper wanted to find out whether top church leaders were involved in a cover-up.
Show me they put those same priests back into parishes time and time again. Show me this was systemic, that it came from the top down.
Sounds like we're going after Law.
Law is Cardinal Bernard Law, the head of the Boston Archdiocese. And the reporters did find evidence that it came from the top down, that the church had paid hush money to quietly settle child molestation claims against priests. Here's actor Mark Ruffalo as Boston Globe reporter Mike Resendiz.
We got Law. This is it.
No, this is Law covering for one priest. There's another 90 out there.
The reporter wants to rush to press, but his editor, played by Michael Keaton, tells him to keep digging.
Why are we hesitating? Barron told us to get Law. This is Law.
Barron told us to get the system. We need the full scope. That's the only thing that will put an end to this.
Then things get pretty heated.
We gotta nail these scumbags. We gotta show people that nobody can get away with this. Not a priest or a cardinal or a freaking pope.
At the end of the film, it's January 2002. The Boston Globe has just published a front page story revealing the scandal. The story focuses on former priest John Gagin, who sexually abused over 130 children. The reporters on the Spotlight team come into the newsroom. Their phones are ringing off the hook as new leads come pouring in from around the city, and the credits roll. But that's just the beginning. Now we're going to tell you what happened next, and how over the next several months, the Globe's reporting would shake up the leadership of the Catholic Church. The real-life editor of the Spotlight team, Walter Robbie Robinson, picks up where the movie ends.
We had the church's records, which showed definitively that Cardinal Law and his lieutenants and prior cardinals knew explicitly what Gagin had done and had transferred him from parish to parish, often without telling the new receiving pastor about his past history abusing children.
Spotlight reporters tried to get Cardinal Law to answer questions about Gagin, but he refused. In fact, a spokeswoman for Law told the reporters that they weren't even interested in knowing what the questions would be. But after the initial stories were published, people in Boston and around the country put pressure on the church. Cardinal Law could no longer stay silent.
Please pray for all those who have been victimized as minors by clergy, as well as for their families.
My memory of that press conference, it's the first time that the cardinal spoke.
Pray that those responsible may come to conversion of heart and self-awareness. Before God, we are trying to do the best we can.
The cardinal was quite defensive.
Pray for the hundreds of faithful priests of this archdiocese who bear with me the burden of a few. With all my heart, I wish to apologize once again for the harm done to victims of sexual abuse by priests.
The cardinal apologized, but in a way that it wasn't an apology so much as an explanation.
Judgments were made regarding the assignment of John Gagin, which, in retrospect, were tragically incorrect. These judgments were, however, made in good faith, And in reliance upon psychiatric assessments and medical opinions that such assignments were safe and reasonable.
And within two or three days, we reported a story that the two doctors he was referring to, one was the family general practitioner for Gagin, the other was a psychiatrist at a Catholic hospital whose specialty was not child abuse and who himself had been accused of sexually abusing women patients.
Cardinal Law went from being one of the most powerful and revered religious figures in the country to being the focus of protesters gathered outside of the church headquarters, clutching signs and shouting,
"Stop the madness!"
Now he should be in jail.
The second major wave to crash on shore was a story in late January in which we reported that the Archdiocese had made secret settlements to keep accusations quiet about 70 priests over the prior decade or two. Within a year later, we found out it was close to 250 total priests who had been credibly accused of molesting children.
And as the information came out, so did calls for Law to step down. As a prince of the church, he answered to the Pope, and only the Pope could accept his resignation.
And I think that it would not serve that cause of protecting children if I were at this point to submit my resignation.
Cardinal Law, had he been the head of any other institution, probably would not have lasted a month, but because he was a prince of the church and the most senior American cardinal, he managed to survive for months and months.
Another Globe reporter, Kevin Cullen, joined the Spotlight team after the first stories broke. He says a scandal started affecting the church's bottom line.
Donations to the church's good works just went through the floor. A lot of people I know, people in my family, stopped giving money. They weren't going to give money to the church's good works as long as Law remained there.
People began to distance themselves from the cardinal, and calls for his resignation intensified. Spotlight editor Robbie Robinson says Cardinal Law's power and influence in Boston began to disappear.
Like a small block of ice on a hot July day. It went away so quickly. The church in Boston lost its political clout almost entirely and almost immediately.
Lawsuits were filed by victims, a grand jury was convened, and thousands more documents from church files were made public.
One thing we saw in the files we received from the church is that consistently the church was more sympathetic for accused priests than for victims.
Sasha Pfeiffer, played by Rachel McAdams in the film, one of the four original Spotlight reporters who broke the story.
We would see these letters that would say, "Oh, dear Jack," which is what they called John Gagin, Father John Gagin. "Dear Jack, we're very sorry you're having to go through this hard time."
And it was in their own words. It wasn't what the Globe said. It's what Cardinal Law and everybody else in the Archdiocese said. We were just printing what they said, and it was damning.
You know, when we first got ready to publish, we were concerned that there may be demonstrators or protesters or picketers outside the Globe when they saw our first story. And we were stunned that there was none of that. In fact, there was so much anger instead directed at the church.
It was a sea change. It just changed the way people looked at their church and particularly at their cardinal and their archbishop. It just changed everything.
So maybe 4 months after we published our first stories, many other newspapers and media outlets around the country were doing their own investigations and finding the same thing in their communities. Consistently, anytime another media outlet has taken a close look at a major diocese, they found the same approach of covering up cases of abuse, shuffling abusive priests from parish to parish. So this became a national story and then an international story. We now know that the same thing occurred in Europe and South America and other parts of the world.
In Boston, the pressure on Cardinal Law kept mounting. The cardinal's apologies continued, and as time passed, they came with fewer explanations, fewer justifications. 10 months after the first story broke, Law showed more emotion when he addressed his own congregation and said,
"I stand before you with a far deeper awareness of this terrible evil.
What I remember most about the Cardinal is that there was really an air of resignation in his voice when he spoke publicly about this after not very much time into the year. He was a weary, weary man, beaten down by this.
A group of priests from Boston took the unheard-of step of calling for his resignation.
After all those stories and all the attention, he had to go. It finally became obvious. You're not going to get anybody in the Vatican to admit that the Boston Globe drove the cardinal out of Boston, but that's generally how most people would perceive it.
In December of 2002, 11 months after the first spotlight story ran, Cardinal Bernard Law flew to Rome and handed his resignation to Pope John Paul II. Soon after, a Boston church spokesperson announced,
"The Cardinal is profoundly grateful to the Holy Father for having accepted his request to resign as Archbishop."
I think Cardinal Law's resignation was clearly a result of the Globe's reporting. On the other hand, he was transferred to Rome, where he was given a new job that many people considered almost a promotion.
In May of 2004, the Pope appointed Law to one of the most prestigious churches in Rome, St. Mary Major Basilica, where Law went on to officiate at church ceremonies amid ornate trappings.
And Cardinal Law went on to live the life, the very much coddled life of a prince of the church in Rome. He had a cook, he had a fabulous residence, and we reported he had a 10,000 euro a month allowance.
It really frosted me to see that he was basically rewarded when he got back to Rome. It's not like he was being, you know, cast out. It's just the opposite. He was welcomed almost as a company guy that did the right thing. Yeah, I don't think it's any surprise that he ended up in Vatican City at the end of all this, in case anybody else wanted to, you know, bring him back and depose him for other cases.
Well, the cover-up extended all the way to and including the Vatican. Every archbishop and cardinal that we knew of, or that we found out about, both in the United States and elsewhere, had done the same thing to greater or lesser degrees in their own archdioceses.
Like every story in history, it's not the crime, it's the cover-up. I'm sorry, if the most higher-up people in the Vatican, including the Pope, didn't know about this or can sit there with a straight face and say they didn't know how bad this was, then, you know, I don't think they've changed at that level at all. I still think there's quite a bit of denial there.
I think the fact that very few top church officials have ever had to face any kind of criminal charge is, of course, disappointing to victims, but also maybe telling of how the church views this. I mean, certainly we hear publicly the church say that this was incredibly wrong, and I do believe that many church officials believe that. But at some level, there still hasn't been accountability.
That was Sasha Pfeiffer, Kevin Cullen, and Walter Robbie Robinson of the Boston Globe Spotlight Investigative Reporting Team. The Boston Globe won the Pulitzer Prize for their reporting on the scandal in the Catholic Church, and the film Spotlight is up for several Academy Awards this year. In the spirit of full disclosure, one of the producers of Spotlight is on the board of the Center for Investigative Reporting. And a footnote, the church has paid victims hundreds of millions of dollars in financial settlements, leading 12 major archdioceses in the U.S. to declare bankruptcy. The most recent was in Minnesota. And that's where we're going to go next, to the Twin Cities, where a whistleblower exposed how the church was hiding clergy sex abuse from the public. From the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX, this is Revealed.